Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the conversations of fellowship one with another. We thank you for the noise of friendship. But Father, just now we ask that you will settle our hearts. And Father, we pray that through all that takes place tonight, that you will speak into our hearts and into our lives. And do us good through being here tonight. Bless the choir as we commit this time to thee in the Saviour's name. Amen. We bid you welcome. There are some that we haven't seen since this time last year, and it's your annual visit, and there's some who come more regularly. But we do bid you welcome. Thank you for coming. We want you to relax. We want you to enjoy the choir tonight. We're going to start off by all singing, and we're going to sing Once in Royal David City. It will be on the overhead, but if you want to use the book in front of you, it's 152, but you should be able to see it up behind me. 152. Once in Royal David City stood a lowly cattle shed where a mother led her baby in a manger for his bed. 152.
Thank you.
thank you for that good singing. Some of you should be in the choir, I think. That was good. Now let's pray together again. Let's pray. Our Father, we praise Thee for this very special season of the year. And we thank You for the message that it brings to our heart. And our Father, we pray that this year we'll be able to get past the rush and the pressure and remember what Paul said to young Timothy, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Father, we praise Thee for the incarnation. We praise Thee for the birth of the Saviour and for the forgiveness and the cleansing that comes through Him and through knowing Him. Father, we thank You tonight for the fellowship choir and all the hard work that has been put in over the weeks for tonight. And Father, we pray that You'll bless the choir and encourage them tonight. And we pray that through their ministry that You might bless our hearts and challenge our souls. That our focus might be on the Christ of Christmas. And Father, we pray that as we exalt Him, that all glory and honor will go to Thy name. Father, we thank You for each one gathered. Father, we're from different denominations, different churches, different fellowships. Father, maybe some who don't know the Lord personally as Savior. And so, our Father, we just pray that You will speak to each one as You see the need. That You will convict those who are not Christians. That You will encourage Your people. But Father, we pray that You will bless the service tonight for Your glory. For it's in Your name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask all these things. Amen. The fellowship choir is not a church choir. We only come together in October for these two nights. And so all that you hear is a choir that is not you singing, but have put a lot of work in to bring a message. We want to take you back in time and remind you that the message of Christmas is not just a story for the children, but historical event. Our narrators tonight are Claire Calderwood, Pauline Fenton, our guest soloist tonight, and we do appreciate this so much. Jeff Sloss has come all these weeks practicing, and we appreciate Jeff coming to be our guest soloist, and our musical director, and we thank God for Alison. Alison Hargey is our musical director. The cantata, which is just a musical presentation without acting. Our cantata is entitled The Heart of Christmas. Thank you, choir.
Away in a manger, a long time ago. us. What a thought. God, the architect, ruler, and sustainer of all creation, choosing to become one of us, choosing to come to earth with the heartbeat of a baby.
One night in a stable in Bethlehem's town, the King of all kings from heaven came down. He was born of a virgin, as the prophets foretold. He came to this earth from a city of gold. He needed no crown.
King chose to leave his throne to come to earth, choosing to become one of us. The story of Christmas is a story about choices. We are going to discover that every person who took part in the wondrous event we call Christmas was faced with choices, beginning with God. For God himself chose the perfect moment in time and the precise location for the birth of the Saviour. He chose a common teenage girl to be the mother of his son. I wonder, how many of us have ever pondered or considered the dilemma of this young Jewish girl named Mary, the one God had chosen? She was engaged and waiting for her wedding day when an angel appeared to announce that God had selected her to bear his son.
Although God had chosen Mary, would she submit to the will of her Lord? You see, God would never force Mary to do something contrary to her will. For God gave mankind, from the beginning of time, the freedom of choice. Would she choose to obey God, or would she run away? Would she tell Joseph, her fiancé, of her glorious blessing, or would she hide in shame? What would her parents think? What would her friends think? Surely she realized the consequences, yet she still chose to surrender to the Lord's marvelous plan for her life. Be it unto me according to thy word, was Mary's choice. Completely. Just as God chose Mary, he had also chosen Joseph to be the earthly father to his heavenly son. Now Joseph was a just man, and after hearing of a coming child, not wanting to disgrace Mary, he decided to secretly break the engagement. But God intervened and sent the angel of the Lord to Joseph in a dream, and told him the child that Mary was carrying was conceived in her by the Holy Spirit. Joseph pushed back his fear and chose to obey the voice of God and took Mary as his wife.
My trembling heart has many questions. Lord, I don't really understand. But you've assured me of your presence. I surrender to your plan. I will be your servant, body, mind, and soul. Yielded to you, Father, I give you full control. Choose to do your will, your will.
I will be your servant, body, mind, and soul. Yield it to you, Father. I give you full control.
And Mary brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. And suddenly a multitude of the heavenly host began praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
his arrival in the little town of Bethlehem. Hallelujah to the Lord, sing holy. He was born to save the world from sin. Glory to God in the highest glory. Hallelujah to the Lord, amen. Glory to God in the highest.
That a Savior had been born. Leaving their flock and their responsibility, the shepherds hurriedly traveled to Bethlehem to find this baby who was Christ the Lord. And there he was, lying in a manger, just as the angel had said. Scriptures reveal that they could not contain what they saw and what they heard. It's amazing that common keepers of sheep were the first to be invited to see the Savior of the world. Think what the shepherds would have missed had they chosen to disregard God's invitation.
We are not certain of the exact time, but we do know that men of great wisdom from a distant country saw a brilliant star. Leaving houses and lands, they chose to follow that majestic star wherever it would lead, no matter how long the journey might be. What would cause these men to follow a star? Why would they spend a portion of their life and their own money looking for a king of another kingdom? These honourable men searched diligently, bearing gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They were determined to find the young king and to worship him.
Consider the human side of this story. The star that led the wise men brought them first to the city of Jerusalem. It's not surprising that these learned men went through official channels in their search for the Messiah. They questioned Herod, the governor of Judea, as to the whereabouts of this new king. He had to consult the chief priests and scribes to learn that the ancient scroll had prophesied Bethlehem, a small village just 5 miles from Jerusalem, at the place where Christ, the Messiah, would be born. I can imagine, as these men entered this kind of prophecy, they probably stopped someone and inquired where their king might be found. Yet those who lived within the very time did not know the Son of God was in their midst.
The love that came gently that night in Bethlehem changed the world forever. This one who was prophesied by the ancients, proclaimed by the angels, praised by the shepherds, and pursued by wise men. He is Saviour, Redeemer, Lord and King. And the angel told Mary to call his name Jesus.
Celebrate this holiday season in some form or fashion, many of them not really understanding why this time of year is so alive, so anticipated, why it touches our emotions. What is Christmas? What is at the heart of it all? Let me ask you, what is the most memorable Christmas that comes to your mind? As a child, what was the best gift you ever received? Was it a certain baby doll, or maybe a brand new bicycle or a go-kart? Some toy or favourite game. For you adults, was it something sparkly that went on your finger? Maybe it was in the driveway with a big bow on the windscreen. There are some of you older folks that remember when families weren't as financially blessed as they are today. It was a treat to get an apple, a couple of oranges, maybe some walnuts or peanuts.
Others of you would say the best Christmas you can ever remember was when the family was all together. In the same house, under the same roof, and life was simple. How easy it is in the day we live to miss the heart of Christmas. All the collective memories, the celebrating, the feasting, our most precious and favourite gifts cannot compare to the gift that laid in the manger on Christmas morn. You see, the heart of Christmas is Jesus, God's gift. The gift that is beyond what you and I could ever comprehend. the greatest gift of all time, for it is the gift of eternal life. The heart of Christmas is the heart of God Himself, God reaching down from heaven to love, to redeem mankind. For God so loved the world that He gave His Son, that we would not perish, but have everlasting life. This gift can be yours and it can be mine. Each of us must choose what we will do with the gift that God extends to us.
Some say life is just a series of decisions. We make choices, we live and learn. Now I stand here at a crossroads, and I must choose which way to turn. Down one road is all the world can offer. Wealth and fame. Down the other, just a man with nail scars in his hands. But there is mercy in his eyes, and there is power in his name. I choose Jesus. I choose Jesus. Without a solitary doubt, I choose Jesus, not for miracles, but for loving me, not just for Bethlehem, but for Calvary, not for a day, but for eternity. I choose Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow.
I'm gonna follow Jesus. Only Jesus.
There'll be no turning back. No turning back.
Chose to follow Jesus years ago and have worshipped this King for many Christmases. Christmas calls us to remember that a Saviour came to give us life. It calls us to remember Mary's complete surrender, Joseph's willing heart, the shepherd's blind faith, the wise men's determination to worship. Christmas calls to the followers of Jesus to remember our commitment and our need to give the Lord first place in our lives. And yes, Christmas calls us to remember the sweet and precious memories surrounding this time of year.
Galilee, around the tree, children laughing merrily, unwrapping shiny toys, making so much noise. Waited patiently all year. Now the day is finally here. But in the middle of it all, we stop as we recall and go with us. This special feeling this day gives us, still in our hearts we realize it's not Christmas
until we gather around that old piano, singing songs of joy again. Oh, what a holy night, sharing smiles by candlelight. And then we read that old story of how a Savior came from glory to bring us peace on earth. Hear the wonder of His birth, and oh, we live for this one moment each December.
Still it's not Christmas. Or the boat, it's not playing in the snow, or the family gathered here, that we hold most dear. To memories that we possess of so many Christmas fests, celebrating Christ the King. That's the most important thing. So once again, we ask you, Father, to remind us, so that we will not forget that it's not Christmas until we gather round that old piano, singing songs of joy again. Oh, what a holy night, sharing smiles by candlelight. And then we read that old familiar story of how our Savior came from glory to bring us peace on earth through the wonder of His birth. And oh, He lives for this one moment each December. Still it's not Christmas.
Christmas is Jesus, God's greatest gift. We are here to celebrate His birth, but we have made our choice to worship, honor, and serve this Savior who is Christ the Lord.
Sing hallelujah, the Lord is come. He is the tyrant, the prophet's law. Our great Redeemer is Christ the Son.
Joy to the world, come let us worship the King. Joy to
Did you enjoy that?
Yes.
That's good. My thanks to the fellowship choir. They've been here many, many nights late, trying to get that all put together. Our thanks to Alison Hargey, to Jeff Sloss, to the sound team and the PowerPoint, to the soloists and to the children. Thank you so very much. Our scripture reading tonight is just one verse, and you learned it at Sunday school. But it does summarize what Christmas is all about. It's found in John 3, verse 16. Maybe you had got a prize for it on Sunday school. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You will have noticed that the theme of our cantata tonight, the heart of Christmas, has been choices. Mary had to make a choice. Joseph had to make a choice. The wise men had to make a choice. The shepherds, they had to make a choice. All who touched that first Christmas had a choice to make. And tonight, our purpose is not to help you feel festive and Christmassy. I hope we've done that, but that's not our purpose. Our purpose tonight is not to give Christmas a sort of religious flavour. I hope we've done that, but that's not our purpose. Our purpose tonight is to remind you that Christmas comes with a call. Christmas comes with a challenge. Christmas comes with a choice. Many years ago, I watched a television program. Now, my wife's choices of television programs and mine are totally different. I don't know how we got married along the line, but we did, and we're wonderfully happy. But she'll, like, police murder things. I'm scared to go to sleep at night. I'm sleeping now with one eye open, just in case. But I like all kinds of documentaries, and I remember seeing a program many years ago. I think it was called The Young Mechanic of the Year, I think. But the concept of it was like this. There was three teams. They each got a rally car. They had a budget of £150. They had 30 minutes. And with the £150, with the 30 minutes, they had to change the performance of the car. And whoever got the best performance out of the car won the competition. One particular team, they went to work. They started to strip the car of all but its bare essentials. The extra seats were out. The dashboard was out. The radio and CD player were out. The wheel caps were off. And they got it just down to the shell, just the core of the vehicle. They won the day. They got rid of all that was extra. They got rid of all the hangers on, the superfluous, and just cut it right down to the bare essential. If we were to do the same to Christmas, if we were to get down to the bare essentials of Christmas, if we were to strip away all the traditions and the commercialism and the overindulgence, we would be left with the bare essentials of Christmas. And the bare essentials of Christmas is John 3 and 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I want to remind you very quickly of a few things in John 3 and 16 that are true about Christmas. First of all, it's a time of loving. For God so loved the world. And that's true at Christmas time. It's a time for loving. People are a little kinder at Christmas. People are more loving, more considerate, more generous at Christmas time. It's a time of loving. Just last month, on the 18th of November, the annual BBC Children in Need appeal was on. And of course, they're trying to get our money. And they were showing videos of some of the most needy, vulnerable children in the world. And the idea was that as you watched the screen, that your heart would be touched and your heart would move with love to those poor children, and you would do something about it, and you would lift the phone or you would text a wee number and you'd get donate money. At Christmas time, when you strip it all back, you discover that at the very core of Christmas is an amazing love. God looked down at a world lost to him because of sin, And his heart moved with a loving compassion. You need to understand this Christmas that right at its core, God has a love for you personally. God has a love for you individually. You need to understand that regardless of race or color or culture or sexual orientation or sin or mistake, no matter about the baggage of life, that's secondary. God loves you. It's a time of love. And he didn't just talk about it. He demonstrated that love by sending his son into this world that first Christmas. And that little baby in the manger is God's present, God's sacrifice for sin, who would die on the cross for you. That is the ultimate expression of love. This Christmas, remember, it's a time of loving, for God so loved the world. Secondly, it's a time of giving. Our verse said that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And at its core, Christmas is a time for giving. The BBC Children in Need raised this year £55 million because people were wanting to give. And at Christmas time, many, many charities find that their donations go up. The shoebox appeal we did in the church. And there's the Samaritans and the Salvation Army and the Dogs Trust. And there's thousands of them. And they find that at Christmas time, their donations go up. Why? Because Christmas is a time for giving. And we spend time shopping for those we love. And as far as I know, my wife bought my present today. That's why I have a smile on my face. And Noah was a good boy this year. And I'm getting something. But you've been out, or maybe you will be out shopping, to get that present because you love someone and you're looking for that perfect gift. But when we strip away all the superficial from Christmas, we find and discover that the ultimate gift was given by God when he gave his only begotten Son. What a gift. That one who had spent all eternity with, there never had been a moment when the Son wasn't there. But he says, you must go. And he sent them into the womb of Mary to be born as the Savior. That's the ultimate gift. And the very gift that we needed most of all, the Savior. And this Christmas, once more, we are invited. Indeed, we are challenged to accept and embrace God's amazing gift of his Son. It's a time of loving, for God so loved the world. It's a time of giving. He gave his only begotten Son. It's a time of forgiving, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Families are delicate things, aren't they? Sometimes in families there are tensions, and stresses, and personality clashes. Now I know to look at you, you have none of those things. It's maybe just my family. Yeah? And at Christmas, you meet up with family, and you've maybe not seen them from last Christmas, and it can be difficult. It's always their fault. I understand that. It's never our fault. But at the core of Christmas, whenever we strip everything else away, there is a desire to heal the wounds. There is a longing to bury the hatchet. There is a desire to overlook the faults and accept the apology given for no other reason than it's Christmas.
And at least we'll have an hour or two, or maybe even a day or two of a truce before we're at each other's throats in January again. At the core of Christmas, God wants to forgive you. God wants you to come this Christmas, and because it's a time of loving, and God gave His Son, and because it's a time of giving, and He gave His only begotten, He wants you to trust Him. Not just intellectually, but to surrender your life to Him. To say, Lord, I'm a sinner, but I'm going to trust You with tomorrow and the next day and next week and next year. I'm going to trust You with my eternity. I'm trusting You. And whenever you trust Him, the one who died on the cross for you, He forgives your sin. He washes your sin away. That's the greatest forgiveness. I hope your family won't fight this Christmas time. I hope you will be able to get a truce organized. But tell me, is there a truce between you and God? Or is there still hostility because of the sin in your heart? And you're sitting in Bali, and you've never come to Him, and you've never repented, and you've never trusted Him, and you've never surrendered to Him, and there's still a state of war. Oh no. This Christmas. Let's get rid of all the extras. And remember, it's a time of love, and God loved the world. Remember, it's a time of giving. He gave His only begotten Son. Remember, it's a time of forgiving. Because He will forgive all who repent and trust Him. Finally, it's a time for rejoicing. It says in our verse, but have everlasting life. You know, family fun, the children's excitement, the joy of friendship is all part of Christmas. We love to have friends round and family round and play a few games and enjoy a meal. But when you strip it all back, the ultimate rejoicing is whenever your sin is taken away and you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I tell you, there's joy, not just in your heart, but the Bible says there's joy in the courts of heaven when one person trusts Jesus Christ and they know that joy of sins forgiven. The sins of the past that no one else knows about. The sins that you're trying to cover up just now. The sins that the Inland Revenue are trying to find. The sins that your wife or husband don't know about. The Lord knows all about them. And because He loves you, He sent His Son to die for you, and He promises you that if you trust Him with all your heart, He'll wash them away. That's real joy. And you know that when your life here is over, you go to be with Him in heaven. And that is real joy. This Christmas, strip it all back to the core, and you'll find John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The ultimate love. The ultimate gift. The ultimate forgiveness. The ultimate joy. And this
Christmas. You must make a choice. Do I focus on the traditions and the commercialism and the overindulgence, or for the very first time in my life, do I receive God's gift of a Savior offered to all who trust Him by faith? He's the only door to heaven. Without Him, you face God's wrath and judgment. What a choice. And I can't make that choice for you. I wish I could. But I can't. And your mum or dad or your son or daughter or your wife or husband can't make that choice for you. God knocks on the door of your heart this Christmas, and He calls you to trust Him. May God help you to come this Christmas time. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You for all that we have enjoyed tonight. We thank You for the choir. We thank You for all the work that went in. And Father, we thank You for the message that we were singing. And how Christmas comes, not just with all the wonderful things that we enjoy, but with a challenge. We have thought of the ultimate love, the ultimate gift, the ultimate forgiveness, the ultimate joy. Father, we pray that this Christmas we will embrace the Christ of Christmas, whom to know is life eternal. Father, we thank You for the refreshments. We're ready for it. We thank You for it and the hands that have prepared it. And then take us home in safety, for we ask it all wonderfully and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.